This week, we have Jake to come bring the message. So, Jake?
All my notes.
Yep.
All right.
Dump some stuff off here. Oh. Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here today. Hopefully today I'll find my comfort up here after a bit. It takes a while. I don't envy this position most of the time, but I also will not forsake it. As you know, many of you know, Brother Doug is out with Malachi riding across to Iowa on a bicycle. Good for him. for me, I don't know about you guys and bicycles, but not me. Nope. I told him I would follow him if he'd like, but mine would have a motor on it, and that anyway, I hope they have a joyous time and glory be given to God, that they would be witnesses to those around them, and that they could bond as father and son together in this time, and so forth. So today, as Doug is gone and I am here, I pray that what you would hear today would not be the difference of one man to the next, but that last week that you would hear from God, and that this week you would hear from God as well. I have been in a men's Bible study that I attend on a regular basis with Brother Gene, and we're going through Steve Lawson's men's morning Bible study thing, and it's been very tremendous. And just as a little prelude, I came to this scripture, and it just struck me immensely. I think today when we say that we are blessed, we don't think we have a proper understanding of that sometimes. So today in the scripture, if I forget when I'm finished, I would ask you to look back to verses 1 and 2 again and see what it is to be blessed. And all other things would pale in comparison to that blessing. So I think many times in conversation we would, people, how are you doing? And what you've been, oh, I'm blessed. And so I ask you today to look at what it is to be blessed. So with that, I'm going to read Psalm 32 in its entirety today to you. Blessed are the forgiven. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. The word of Lord, the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you would open everyone's heart here today to hear and to understand this beautiful psalm that you have David given to us, Lord, that as I opened, we would understand what it is to be blessed, that we would understand sin, that we would understand confession, that we would understand forgiveness. Lord, that it is all through you and through you alone. Father, help us today to not be stubborn. Help us today to not be hard-mouthed and calloused to the bit and the bridle. But Lord, by your leading, that we would go the way that you would have us to. Father, give me strength to bring your message today, that those that you have here today would hear, and that would do the work in their heart that you have it for, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, King David opens his psalm with joy and blessedness from knowing the forgiveness of the grace of God. He starts with, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." David gives great instruction regarding confession and repentance to forgiveness, and he also speaks of the biblical doctrine of justification as well. Now, in this expression of blessedness for forgiven people, we see that with the Lord, forgiveness involves both the covering of sin and not counting it to our records. Covering is one image in Scripture that is an image of salvation. God's first act of grace after the fall was to provide clothes to cover the shame of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:21. The term covered comes from a Hebrew word that refers to the covering of shame by love in an act of forgiveness. Thus, when the Lord forgives, he hides their shame so that they may rejoice in his presence. The second part of forgiveness was not counting it to our records. A biblical term we need to understand is imputation. Imputation is to credit to someone else's account. I feel like that's echoing on me. Now, there are three imputations in the Bible. We have the imputed sin of Adam to the whole human race, referred to Romans 5:12. We also have the imputation of our sins to Christ and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to his own. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, our sins imputed to him, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God," God's righteousness imputed to us. So verse 2, "Blessed is the man against who the Lord counts or imputes no iniquity." If you are a true believer, your sin is put on Christ, but we cannot stop there. Your sin debt has been canceled and paid for. In the words of Brother Steve Lawson, I'm going to give him credit, "No zeros get into heaven. Your debt is canceled. You must have a positive balance in your account. So you still need the perfect imputed righteousness of Christ that he gives us. Now the Apostle Paul, in Romans 4, verses 7 and 8, refers to these first two verses in Psalm 32 in his case of explaining justification by faith alone apart from the works of the law. Christ, in love, bore our sin in exchange that we get his righteousness. We bring nothing to the table. Christ took sins and gave his righteousness. It was nothing that we could do. We are justified by faith alone and Christ alone, and all who rest in him are declared righteous in the sight of the Lord. Verses 3 and 4. So when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Now David testifies to his own experience. Forgive me, my lips are doing the thing that I see Brother Doug doing all the time. We see physical trauma to him over his unrepentant state. He was silent as to confession, but not to sorrow. His frame within him, his bones, they began to decay as the sin ate at him. God's fingers can crush. What must his hand be in it pressing heavily and continuously? Unconfessed sin is a fierce poison that dried up David's strength. Now here we have Selah. I believe I say that right, and if I do not, I do know it means to pause and meditate. At this time we need a change of tune. We have these first two beautiful verses of speaking of the blessedness of knowing Christ and of forgiveness. And David gives his own testimony of a time when he was unconfessing his sin. He was unrepentant. And it was eating away at his insides. So to pause and meditate, it was time for a change of tune. It was time that he went into verse 5. After long lingering, David laid himself bare before the Lord. David acknowledged his fault and his guilt. Full confession softens and humbles the heart. It says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. The faithful look to God alone for deliverance of sin's intolerable load. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God's pardons are deep and thorough. The knife of mercy cuts at the root of the ill weed of sin. David's confession is sweet. It is sweetness back to his frame, back to his bones. It is, he knows what it is to be forgiven. So again, he says, Selah, to pause and meditate, that we might not move past this very quickly, that we would see the great mercy and the great blessedness of God's forgiveness upon confession. Now David moves on from his testimony into teaching mode. We see the therefore of Scripture in verse 6. So in light of his testimony, in light of his confession, he now wants to push out and so show his true witness of what he has experienced. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. We see a set time of prayer, beyond which it will be useless. Between the time of sin and the day of punishment, mercy rules the hour, and God may be found. But when once the sentence has gone forth, pleading will not avail. For the Lord will not be found by the condemned soul. Do not slight the accepted time. Waste not the day of salvation. The godly pray while the Lord has promised to answer. The ungodly postpone their petitions till the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. And then their knocking is too late. What a blessing to be led to seek the Lord before the great devouring flooded waters leap forth from their lairs. For that when they do appear, we will be safe. He who is saved from sin has no need to fear anything else. Without pardon, our souls are dried up and subject to the waters of divine judgment. But when we repent, the Lord saves us from being drowned in the flood of his anger. Verse 7. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And again, Selah. Observe that the same man who in verse 4 was oppressed by the presence of God here finds shelter in him. See what honest confession and full forgiveness will do. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. This again is in contrast to the man in verse 3 who was in groanings all the day long. And again we have Selah. Pause and meditate. It's the final time that David says this. David is overwhelmed by such a deliverance. That through this process of 3 and 4 of being unrepentant, of not confessing his sin, and then coming to that full confession and repentance and being forgiven, and then pushing it forth in the wonderful deliverances that surround him. He wants us to think upon those. He wants himself to think upon them. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Here the speaker is the Lord. He gives the psalmist an answer to his prayer. We are not pardoned that we may live after our own lust, but we are to be educated in holiness and trained in perfection. Isaiah 54, 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. I don't have this one copied down, but to throw in another one, that the Lord chastens his own. He will instruct us as we move into verse 9 because he loves us. The Lord chastens those that he loves. So as we look at 9, so be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Understanding separates man from a brute. Let us not act as if we are devoid of understanding. Be not stubborn and and in need of severe chastening before you will obey. May God give us grace to willfully obey, that at the small inklings, the small pushes of the Spirit, the smallest little scripture, that we would move forth in obedience, and that would not require the heavy hand of the Lord in order for us to obey. I'm not saying that those times aren't merciful. He will not forsake his own. you choose not to obey, he's going to chasten you. And it is for your own good, as we spoke in Sunday school this morning. So verse 10. This is going a little faster than I thought it was going to. I still got time. I could go off on many, many rabbit trails. Yeah. I haven't yet. Feeling pretty comfortable, though, Dave. Oh, okay. All right. So verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds. Again, we have that surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. We have the only two kinds of people in these verses, in this verse. The wicked and those who trust in the Lord. My wife says that I don't have any gray area. I should probably grow a little bit of one in certain things. However, I don't believe the Lord has any gray area. There are those that are His and those that are not. The wicked have many sorrows. Sorrows of conscience, sorrows of terror, sorrows of judgment, sorrows of unforgiveness. But the sorrows we see here, he doesn't allude too long. He wants to get back to this psalm of being blessed for being forgiven. So, we have the buts in Scripture. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, thank God for the buts in Scripture. But steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Faith is here placed at the opposite of wickedness. Verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. I didn't see this till this morning. Given a command. Be glad. Happiness is not only our privilege, but it's our duty. Truly, we serve a generous God. Since He makes it part of our obedience to be joyful. I must say that convicts me. How sinful are our rebellious murmurings. But how natural does it seem that a man that is blessed with forgiveness should be glad? We should be exceedingly glad if we are blessed. Be glad in what? Be glad in the Lord. Not be glad in sin. Be glad in the pulls of this world. Be glad in the comfort of food, money, drink. But be glad in our God who offers forgiveness. So he doesn't want to just stop at be glad. He says, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let us not refrain our joyful voices over what the Lord has done. Let our songs, this is a song. Let our songs be that of calling upon the Lord and being so glad and thankful and rejoicing in the fact that He has done what He has done. Today, as we sing out, I would ask you to sing with a heart that understands forgiveness, with a soul that understands the blessedness of not having our sin imputed to our account, but that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. If you are born again, you've been redeemed by Almighty God. That blessedness of the first verse, we see he mentions our sin in multiple ways. He speaks of transgression, he speaks of sin, and he speaks of iniquity. David has spanned all our wrongs to cover them all with three verses, if you will, the trinity of our wrongdoing. But in the Holy Trinity, all those have been paid for. The ones that you've committed in commission, the ones you've committed in omission, the ones that you haven't yet done. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Think of Psalm 103 that says he has, I should just go to it instead of trying to quote it. And then I would have to find it. Verse 12. Thank you. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And keep going. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Has the east ever met the west? The trinity of our sin, forgiven in the trinity of our holy God, completely. Speaks of completeness. In conclusion, I would like to share a few more scriptures. Shouldn't take me more than 5 or 6 more hours. I'm just teasing. I know when Doug says in conclusion that it means this is going to be a bit. And I'm okay with that. I enjoy it very much, though. So, I love our pastor. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Do not conceal sin. God knows about it anyway. You think you're hiding it from him? You're not. God is what? All-knowing. In all times, in all places. Who are you fooling? Don't let your sin be rottenness to your bones. Confess and forsake. Not a shallow confession, but a true one that is linked with repentance of the sin, turning away from it and turning towards Christ, as Doug so lovingly tells us all the time. May our confession be true. May it be from the heart, from the soul. That our sin would be heinous to us, that we would agree with God about sin, and that we would acknowledge it and turn from it and ask for power to overcome it. 1 John 1. Originally, I was going to read a little less of this one, but I'm going to read a few more. Starting in verse 6 through 10. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Verse 10, we make Him a liar. Is that possible? Scripture tells us God can't lie. True confession accepts full responsibility for our sin. A right view of sin knows that sin deserves judgment. A right view of sin appeals to the mercy of God. And as we see in our scripture, a right view of sin knows that it needs cleansed. That He would cleanse us. White as snow. It doesn't say He would cleanse us kind of off-white. That you'd be kind of dingy white. That we need completely cleansed. Let us not put off that cleansing. He tells us to confess and to forsake it. Confess it to Him who we sin against. And let us quickly acknowledge our sin. Not saying that we will come to sinless perfection, not in this life, but God is working on us. He is chipping away at us. Don't begrudge the file. Don't begrudge the pickaxe that chips away at these rough edges and continues to cleanse us, continues to cause us to see our sinfulness before a holy God. Truly confess and forsake your sin. And then you can know this blessedness of being forgiven. This blessedness that caught my attention. To live in that blessedness. To live in that joy, and then that happiness of being forgiven by a holy God who will judge all sin. The song says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain and washed me white as snow. Do you need forgiven today? Do you need to confess today? I'm up here teaching, preaching, and I must put these in the imperative. I have to put you in the hot seat. I've been in the hot seat for about 25 hours or so. Do you need to confess today? Don't put it off. Do you know the Lord today? Or are you just being stubborn? Does he need to curb you with the bit and the bridle? Thank God that he does. But let us be quick to confess, quick to repent, and quick to know that God is faithful to forgive. So as we are two kinds of people today, as I get back into my black and white, today you can hear my message in two different ways. That this guy's nuts. What is he up there blabbering about? If that is the case, I pray that God would convict you and not allow you to sleep. That would torment you until you come to faith and repentance in Christ today. He would not leave you alone. Or you've been harboring sin. You know it's wrong. It's eating away at you. You're not speaking of it, but it's eating at your insides. It's causing you to groan, and God's hand is heavy upon you. I can't imagine the weight of God's hand, but I thank God for it. Acknowledge your sin before him, confess it to him, and he will forgive. The weight of his heavy hand will be lifted, and you will know the blessedness of being forgiven. With that, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word yet again today. Father, I pray it was clear, and even in my murmurings and inconsistencies, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would use your word today to carry out your purposes. Father, that this church would be a church like David. It would be after God's own heart. We'd be confessing and forsaking our sin and turning to you, Lord, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I thank you for children. What a blessing they are. Oh, Father, today, use your word to do good, to do your will, to draw hearts near to you. Lord, and I think of Acts 3:19. It would say, repent, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Lord, may we rejoice and be glad and joyful in your presence, Father. Because we've confessed and forsaken that which separates us from you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all for hearing me. I pray it penetrated your heart as it did mine. As my toes hang over the edge, I don't know what it is about that. Prayer of prayers would be with Doug and Malachi as they travel. The Lord's will be done. Pray Doug comes back rejoicing with thousands of ragbri riders wanting to come to Elveston Church and hear the word. We are blessed to have the word. Let us follow it. Let us understand it and not be brutes and confess our wickedness and our sinfulness. I would be privileged to pray with any of you for anything if you would like. But otherwise, I'd ask you to sing with us this morning.
You may be seated. Take an offering if we have some ushers.